A reflection entitled Life Begins at 80 by Anonymous. I have good news for you. The first 80 years of life are the hardest. The second 80 are a succession of birthday parties. Once you reach 80, everybody wants to carry your baggage and help you up the steps. If you forget your name or anybody else's name or an appointment or promise to be in three places at one time, or you can't remember how many grandchildren you have, you need only to explain that you are 80. Being 80 is a lot better than being 70. At 70, people are mad at you for everything. At 80, you have a perfect excuse no matter what you do. If you act foolishly, it's your second childhood. Being 70 is no fun at all. At that age, they expect you to retire to a house in Florida and complain about your arthritis. And you ask everybody to stop mumbling because you can't understand them. By this time, you've actually lost 50% of your hearing. If you survive until you're 80, everybody is surprised that you are still alive. They treat you with respect just for having lived so long. Actually, they seem surprised that you can walk and talk sensibly. So please, folks, try to make it to 80. It's the best time of life. People forgive you for anything. If you ask me, life begins at 80. You know, what an incredible perspective of life. Haven't quite gotten there yet, but this particular man obviously has gotten to 80. He's experienced it as a new beginning in his life, like a second childhood. And what a great way to look at life. What an incredible perspective to have. And you know, for you and me, as we go through life, I think one of the most important things in our life is our perspective, how we look at things. I could hold up a glass that had water halfway, and one person would say it's halfway full, and another person would say it's halfway empty. And I could just go on from there, and we all know that perspective is incredibly important about life. And today what we find in Jesus' teaching the disciples, the Our Father, is he changes their perspective. He takes something that is so familiar to them, and for that matter, familiar to us as well, and he changes their whole perspective in terms of how to pray and deepens it. So I'd like to take some time with you today and over the next few weeks to look at the Our Father together and see what we might learn as well and allow our perspective to be changed too. Jesus begins this prayer of the kingdom, Our Father who art in heaven. In Brown's commentary, he shares that in the former clause, we express his nearness to us. Our Father, not some distant God, not a God whose name we cannot pronounce, but rather our Father, someone who, if you will, we're a part of his family. It's a relationship that's that close. And so Jesus begins teaching his disciples to pray, and you and me as well, in how we address the Almighty. And we're invited to address him as our Father. Uniquely ours, each and every one of us, and uniquely ours as the body of Christ. And in the latter clause, we express his distance from us, who art in heaven. As much as God is close to us and our Father, as much as we are part of God's family, the reality is God is in heaven as well. He is majestic. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings, the creator of the universe. And he is as different from us as any being can be. Our Father, who art in heaven. The child of God comes to a loving Father intimately, sharing their deepest needs from their heart, with a caring presence that dwells in the very glory and majesty of heaven. What Jesus tells us in these first few words at the beginning of this prayer is that our Father is approachable, and he's approachable for everything. Please never make the mistake that your request is not significant enough to bring it to God. I've heard people say to me, you know what, Father Joe, I don't pray about that because God has bigger things to take care of. Well, I just want to encourage you that God wants to be involved in every aspect of our lives, and there is nothing too little or too big for God. So we're invited to come to him intimately, expressing our deepest needs, and know that he's listening to us. God listens to what you and I say, and he even listens to what we don't say. It's like that perfect conversation where some of the deepest things that are shared in silence. At the same time, our God is majestic. He dwells in the heavenly realms. He is a Father. He is a God that you and I, on some levels, should never, ever get used to. That we should never, ever become so familiar with that we lose a sense of the sacred and the holy and the reverence with which we are to hold him. So it's both of these things together. And it brings us to the third piece of this prayer, and that's all I'm going to cover today. Hallowed be thy name. That word hallowed means to be held in reverence. We are praying our Heavenly Father be held in reverence, awe, and respect that is due uniquely to him. And as you and I pray that in the Our Father, we are praying that the world would treat our God in that way, that they would treat him with reverence and awe and respect. And we are praying that the same would be true for us in our hearts. Hallowed be thy name. We invite the world to worship the Exalted One. You remember Peter and James and John when they were invited by Jesus up into the mountain. They didn't know what was going to happen. And they had been walking with Jesus already for a period of time. But what happened on the mountain was that Jesus was transfigured before their very presence, and they got a glimpse into the glory and the awe and the majesty and the heavenly realms. And what happened? They were undone. They were blown away, to use some common term of today, by the experience of the majestic, heavenly, glorious Jesus. And the same will be true for you and me as well. You see, beloved, to be part of the kingdom of God is to be centered on our relationship with our Heavenly Father, captivated in the worship and praise of him, being transformed in the experience. True worship is an encounter with our Father. And what I want to encourage all of us to remember as we come here to worship God each week, and as you worship God during the week throughout your daily lives, there should be an encounter that is taking place. There should be a transformation that is occurring for you. It won't be always the Mount of Transfiguration, but there will be unmistakable moments in your life, hopefully today and throughout the week, where you will say, I've been in the presence of God. Yes. God came to me and ministered to me right now, right here, exactly how I needed him to. Or he was with us in the hospital room, wasn't he, when we were praying. God showed up. You see, true worship, truly living into these first few words of the Our Father, is not the mere recitation of words or repeating them. It's not going through the motions. It's not even just showing up. Worship in the kingdom of God by hallowing our Father opens the door to the heavenly realms in a very real and powerful way, where the angels are crying glory. Where in just a few moments at the great Thanksgiving, we're going to join in that prayer of the elders. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They got that from the Bible, by the way. That's where we took that from. That's where that came from. Our liturgy, a lot of it is from the scripture, all of it. In just a few moments, we'll be crying out that refrain again. It's an invitation into our participatory experience that is truly out of this world. Now, as I'm describing that, some of you are saying, I have not had that experience. And I can honestly say there was a time in my life where I grew up in my church of origin. I did not have that experience. I was bored. I couldn't wait to leave church. That was not my experience. If that has not been your experience to this point, I want to encourage you that it can be your experience. and that God wants it to be your experience. I think part of our problem in the Christian West is that we have so intellectualized God and put him in our God box. We have so figured out God in terms of who we want him to be that we no longer experience the living God. We no longer experience the God of glory. We no longer experience the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit pulsing through our veins. Thank God for your minds. Thank God for the liturgy of the Episcopal Church. I love it. Born and raised Roman Catholic in the Episcopal Church, and thank God for it. But I need more. I need an experience with the living God. My God is alive, and your God is alive as well. And we need to be open to that. And I believe one of the reasons why we need to be open to that is that God has designed us to have that experience. Did you realize that as a human being, you and I, everybody here in this sanctuary, everybody in this world has been created to experience transcendence? Huh. We've been created for that. That is a normal part of what it means to be a human being. And the reality is, I believe that is one of the reasons why there is so much addiction in the world. I believe one of the reasons why there is so much addiction in the world and so much addiction in our country. Do you know that there are drugs just pouring into this country from all over the world, especially South America? I don't know if you knew this or not, but right now the current hub for crack cocaine coming into our country is the Dominican Republic. That as the drug cartels are using that country now, there's a huge drug epidemic within the DR among the people themselves, just ghetto upon ghetto of addicts waiting for their next fix. And the drugs are pouring into the United States, into Miami International, and into New York. And out of that, it goes off to other hubs throughout the country. And the question, the natural question to ask is, why are all these drugs pouring into this country? Why is this a multi-billion dollar industry year after year after year? And the reason why is because people want to get high. It's not complicated. They want their drugs. Otherwise, they wouldn't be paying for them. They want to get high. They want that fix. And they get high through using substances. It might be drugs. It might be alcohol, might be porn, might be gambling. You just fill in the blank. But that getting high is a real experience, isn't it? It's intense. And you want more and more and more of it. And before you know it, your body's addicted to it as well. I have friends that are still smoking reefer from the 60s. And you can tell. Let me just say, you can tell. It's left a mark on them in more ways than one. The sad thing about so much of humanity that is seeking this kind of high is I have yet to meet a person who it hasn't destroyed. I have yet to meet a family who it hasn't decimated. And so, again, just being honest with you here this morning, this kind of high doesn't work. This isn't the kind of high that God intended for us. Let me just say to you something that you may have never heard before, but I believe we were created as human beings to get high on God. And let me explain what I mean. We were meant to get high on God via a loving intimacy with him that transcends our very being. As each one of you have experienced the beauty of what it's like to really be in love with someone and for somebody to really love you, it is one of the greatest experiences in the world. There are moments that you and I remember that are burned into our being and we're glad for it that we will never, ever forget. And those are the moments that God wants to share with us as well. Intimate love that infuses our life with the Holy Spirit and incredible blessings. It is a high that will bring contentment and not emptiness. It is a high that will bring fulfillment and not looking for the next fix. It is a high that is free. Hallelujah. You can use that money for a lot of other good things in the kingdom of God. It is a high, a relationship, a connection that will bring healing to every part of your being. That's the kind of high. That's the kind of transcendence. That's the kind of heavenly experience that our Father wants to have for us and that He's always meant for us to experience. Have you ever watched somebody really pray? Or watched someone really worship? I have. And it's one of the most beautiful sights I've ever seen. During my sabbatical, I had an opportunity to travel a lot of different places, and it was an incredible time. One of the places I had a chance to travel was up to the Cincinnati area in northern Kentucky to help my son and his family move into their new home. We unloaded, my son and I, a semi-trailer full load of furniture and everything else. I mean, the thing was 16 feet high, and I don't even know how many feet deep. Let me just say, the next time I will give him some money to hire some people to unload that thing. It was an incredible bonding experience with my son, but I never knew I had so many sore muscles in my body. Let me just put it that way. Well, on Sunday morning, I had the chance to go to a local Catholic church, which is about a five-minute walk from my son's house. It was at 8 a.m. service. Few people gathered there in the morning. Very beautiful church, very beautiful, worshipful group of people. And during the service, as we were going through it, as I came up out of prayer and things like that, I just would look around. I noticed one time looking around, there was a group of people that were just busy talking to each other while the prayers were going on. They were doing it softly, but they were still talking to one another and not praying. But then as I was standing in my pew and I looked over here to the right, I still remember who I saw. It was a man during the prayers. And he had his hands like this, and his eyes were closed, and he glowed. He was glowing. He was with the Father, and the Father was with him. He was having a transcendent experience. He was in a transcendent moment. Not only was he acknowledging that our Father is in heaven, but let me say, the Father of heaven had come down to dwell with him in that moment. And I was just blessed to see him and to be a part of that. And I said to myself, there he is. There's someone worshiping and praying to our Father right now. What an encouragement. What a blessing to me. That's the place I want to be. There was another opportunity I had to go to a conference called Voice of the Apostles in Nashville, Tennessee. It was my first time in Nashville. If you've never been, please go. I've never seen so many honky-tonk bars in all of my life. So many people singing from all over the country. So many great cuisines and food. And it's a great experience. You got to do it if you've never done it before. Well, during this conference, there was incredible teaching, incredible worship, incredible prayer, incredible praise all through the week. It was just phenomenal and life-changing. Mike and I and a couple of other people were there for the week. But again, during that conference, as we were having an incredible time of worship, and again, during this worship time, people had their hands raised to God, many of them. As I came out of worship for a moment, I just kind of looked around again. And I noticed a group of people to my right, and they were busy texting on their cell phones. I thought to myself, that's interesting. They might have even been looking at the text from what was going on in the event, you know, because that was happening live as the event was happening. But here we were worshiping the living God, and they were busy texting. And then I looked across at somebody else, and their hands were raised to the Lord, and they were looking up. And I could see heaven in their face. I saw the glory of God. I saw them worshiping and praying in the most wonderful and beautiful way. Beloved of God, one of the most beautiful things in the entire universe is a human being focused in prayer and in worship of the Lord God Almighty. It is who we are called to be. It is how we are called to live. It is how we are called to experience this life in very deep and profound ways. In closing, I want to ask yourself and myself as well, during this time of worship and even during the week, I want to ask you a simple question. Where are you? Where are you really? Are you texting? Are you talking to somebody else? Are you thinking about your grocery or to-do list? Are you having an argument with somebody that had happened an hour earlier, and now you're having the argument in your head during church when you should be praying and worship, and you're winning the argument? You know what I mean, right? We've all been there. We've all done these things. And I want to encourage us as we come here to worship, as we come here to pray, to be open to the grace of God, to be focused on Him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let us pray.